Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And we're here to, as always, try to entertain you, educate you, illuminate things, or as some haters on YouTube say, try to join the Mac Daddy Haters Club.
That's us, yo.
White guys trying to act black.
We appreciate the input. Learn to spell Mac Daddy.
There you go. Learn how to spell Mac Daddy. It's not M-A-K-D-A-D-Y.
Okay.
All right. This is The Riot. Let's get our early stage pimping out of the way. Please visit us on our website, thatriotshow.com. Right there. Where you can find all the latest news, relive past episodes. You could also find us on YouTube for right now. YouTube. Search for That Riot Show, or you go to that address.
But not for much longer.
Not for much longer, hopefully. You could also go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic, Player FM, just about anywhere podcasts can be found. We try to populate ourselves everywhere.
That's right.
Spread our seed, like good evolutionary males.
Yes, since last week I found out what Spreaker was. So, very cool. We're actually big on that. So.
Yeah, big on Spreaker, big on Podomatic. So, anyway, we thank all our listeners, all our viewers. Hopefully you'll stay with us as we go through some growing pains. Obviously trying to get more high-tech. Look at the studio, Judo Larium.
Unbelievable.
Yes, there you go. So we do try to improve every time out. Thank you for your patience. As always, behind the scenes, our main man, Phil.
What's up, Dougs?
What?
Dougs?
Oh. Did he call us Dougs?
Oh, yeah. I guess he's using code word for niggers. Is that the right? Is that the way I understand it to be from liberals? Equals niggers. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. We talked about that. That some liberal on PBS. Oh no. What is it?
CNN or MSNBC?
No, the radio stupid thing.
NPR.
NPR. Yeah, he was going on. His name was like McWardy or something. He was going on that thug is the. It's just a different way, it's a polite way of saying the N-word.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, so. Right now, thug has reached the same level of, incense amongst, African Americans as the word boy does.
Yeah, but it's actually, it's more like academics and like pseudo-intellectuals.
Well, they're looking for reasons, yeah.
Look, Obama called them thugs, and the guys alluded. So, I mean, how racist can it be?
Well, look.
But now he's got racist and sexist issues.
Good for him. Good for him. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, I was going to say this whole political correctness around words and triggering words and microaggressions, everything right now is really, any action seems to be an excuse for a liberal or some sort of special interest group to cry foul, Larry.
Everything right now is very offensive. Yeah. You have to watch everything that you say. That's why I'm a big fan of those Comedy Central roasts. They don't watch what they say.
I was going to say, did you see that one article where a college class filed some sort of grievance because they went to, they were part of an art class, and they went to the museum, and apparently Greek and Roman statues were causing, and I quote, triggering microaggressions.
All right, I don't know what that means.
Nobody does. That's the whole point.
I'm just putting that out there. I assume it's another like anti-white thing or Western culture or Western history or something.
Well, apparently now college students are under the impression that they have the right not to be upset by anything. So, for example, professors, when they do their syllabus now, they have to put down potential trigger words and trigger sections so that people don't get upset when they do their homework.
This is great. Education's going to have movie ratings.
Yeah, basically. That's what it comes down to.
That's what it is.
Because they said, look, if there happens to be any women in the class who were raped, you can't broach the subject of violence against females. because that might trigger bad feelings. If you deal with something like Huck Finn, you know, Huck Finn in the original format uses the word nigger.
Yeah.
Because that was the language of the time.
So
apparently, you either have to censor the word.
Yeah.
Or you have to provide trigger warnings so that if someone is offended by the word nigger, they know enough not to take your class. Or they take it and they sue you later.
Now, who wrote Huck Finn?
Was it
I always forget. I'm like
see, now you've got me sounding like an idiot.
No, I was just going to point out that he should have used thug. No.
Sure. N-word. Anyway.
Yeah, so political correctness out of control. And
Phil, if you're going to make yourself useful, find out who wrote Huck Finn so we don't look like idiots.
Working on it.
Yeah, he's working on it. All right. We'll get to that.
Mark Twain.
Amazing. Okay, I'm not making fun of anybody.
You would think I would know that. I lived on his block.
At the same time, he's older than he looks. Anyway, all right, so the riot, Larry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some stuff taking place. First of all, tragedy yesterday, an Amtrak derailment near Philly killed several people, right? What was it?
It's now eight.
Eight people.
And 200 had to go to the hospital for various injuries.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the derailment was caused by a conductor who was basically driving the train at 107 miles an hour at a curve that was designed to be taken at 50.
Yeah.
So, from what I could tell, human error. right? I mean... I mean, it's obvious. But what I love about this sort of thing is the way it becomes politicized. So, for example, you had this horrible tragedy. People killed, obviously, human error. Democrats use this as an excuse to, can you guess it, ask for more Amtrak funding.
Yeah.
And use the tragedy to highlight that, hey, if we had more funding... maybe we could have had some automatic system that prevents assholes from driving the train twice as fast as it should. Okay?
And also some Democratic congressman, he also tried to blame the Republicans because they're trying to cut funding for it. And he's saying that, so this is like, this is really like their fault.
Exactly. Because they want to cut it by 18%, the funding for Amtrak. Now.
All because this asshole was going twice the speed that he should have been going. Now this guy, before we jump into it, his name is, Brandon Bastian.
Bastian Booger?
Yeah.
No, not that guy. Who was it?
Oh, God. His name is Brandon Bastian.
Brandon Boston.
And,
sounds Armenian.
Now, here's the funny thing. He claims he has no recollection of what happened.
Of course.
But he has lawyered up.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
So he doesn't know what happened.
Of course.
But he knows enough to get a lawyer.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling that this young man is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I don't know if he's young or not, but he is in a lot of trouble.
He's 37.
But you know what's interesting to me is someone like our favorite lesbian, Rachel Maddow, tweeted out that like, oh, we're just talking about 18%. 18%. And then she mentioned the device that I guess is used in Japan that prevents trains, no matter what, from surpassing a certain speed.
Right.
And she goes, do you think those things are for free? They cost money, you know. And I tweeted back, first of all, you can't get rid of human error, because then you're going to have, like, the conductors union complaining that you replaced them with machines. Don't think that isn't coming if it were to be, for example,
absolutely,
like the Japanese that, you know, automate everything. But the second thing is, why is it a presupposition that the government should be funding fucking Amtrak to begin with?
Right.
I don't understand that. Like, why is it that you, Rachel Maddow, or any other liberal... think that the government should be in the business of running choo-choo trains.
Yeah.
Why? I don't get it. Any funding for Amtrak to me is too much. 18% decrease means that you've got 82% of money that shouldn't even be going towards that budget, as far as I'm concerned. If Amtrak is a service that's valuable, that people find useful.
Yeah.
They'll pay for it.
That's right.
They'll pay for it. Why does the government need to run Amtrak?
Yeah, I remember when Jack Kemp wanted to defund it back in the late 80s, and he wanted to privatize it, and they freaked out.
Yeah.
And this would be particularly shocking to people like Joe Biden, who claims that he's been writing it for the past 30 years.
And you'll write it after it became a privately run enterprise. Why not? Sell it off.
Yeah.
I'm for selling off just about everything the government does, Larry. There's very few functions I want to leave to the government.
Except drones.
I'll even privatize that. But look it. I would sell off everything that doesn't include armed services, functions of state, you know, where you have embassies and stuff like that,
yeah.
The judicial system and its agencies, FBI, Homeland Security, shit like that, and the court systems. Anything other than that, fucking privatize everything. Everything. Amtrak, the transportation, road building, post office. I don't know, Phil. I think post office might be 50-50. I don't think it's funded by the government anymore.
No, it actually...
it's in the black now.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I remember reading like a year ago that something like they were losing like $25 million.
That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
They've turned it around. But my point being, why should any of that be run if you think about it? I know a lot of people say, but the government, if the government doesn't do it, who can ensure the integrity of the mail? Why? Is the mail so full of integrity right now?
Yeah.
Do you get shit on time? Do you get shit guaranteed? No, of course not. The point is, FedEx could do a better job. UPS already does a better
DHL
job. DHL, any of them. Okay?
But considering how much technology there is now, that people just email shit
exactly.
to each other.
Do you even really need daily mail?
You need like just a constant flow of this. I mean, I don't get that much physical mail anymore.
But even for people who do. The point is, I don't understand people whose assumption is the default that the government can do things better than anybody, Larry.
Well, their argument would be that they don't trust anybody else to do it. So they would rather have some asshole bureaucrat running something.
Which is...
Because if you tell them that a private corporation... I've met people, they just tune you out. They don't want to hear it, they don't trust them.
Right.
And also, they always labor under the misconception that it's going to cost more.
Somehow.
That's it. It's going to cost more. If it gets privatized, which is not true. If you had some competition with these things, the prices would go down.
Plus, in deference to Rachel Maddow and her ilk, things aren't free. Yes, you pay for them. And when the government pays for them, we all pay for them.
I don't understand how you think
it's free. It's just no cost to certain people. That's it. It doesn't mean it's free. When the government gives you shit, it's not free. Someone else paid for it.
I've noticed that a lot of times with liberals, they just associate free with, like, I'm sitting here right now. As long as I'm not paying, like, right now I'm not reaching in my wallet. Well, it's like a philosophical, it's out there some of the money. It's in this deep well that they have. And as long as you're not picking my pocket at this moment in time, it doesn't count.
It is literally the economics of a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
it's like, can I buy that? And the parent pays the guy behind the counter so the kid can go, quote unquote, buy it. That's the assumption that liberals seem to work on ad infinitum throughout their lives. It's like, as long as a dollar isn't physically, going from their pocket, they think there's magically no cost. You know. So the Amtrak,
you have the people, just their assumption also just is, look, I mean, you have people that very much unlike us, they just want to pay more in taxes. They do. And they want more services. And they want more, like, guaranteed education, healthcare. I have to tell you, these things are not going to get better if the government takes it. I have been to so many countries in this world that have the government run. I can't tell you why they're any better than private. Yeah. The real trick is to take what we have and spread it out more so it's more accessible to people.
Yeah, and what happens is that what I've noticed also is that, and this is really not solely liberals, but largely liberals, they just assume that everything is just the spend side of the ledger. You know, nothing is ever the generation of wealth or, you know, how wealth is created and moved around. It's always like at the last moment, at the last end of the line where they see the spend, right? So for them, it's always like, if it doesn't come out of my pocket, it's free. How do you stimulate the economy? Print more dollars and throw them into the economy. What it does, you know, whether it's backed by real economic growth or wealth creation or anything, doesn't matter to them.
It drives up our debt.
Yeah, it drives up our debt, which I just read a report is far worse now than it was when Obama took office.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's any surprise to anybody, and certainly not that Obama is the only one who's at fault here.
No, but he doesn't care.
He wants it to go even higher.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He just wants to keep raising the debt ceiling.
Right.
He doesn't care. He came in, it was about 11 trillion or whatever the hell.
Yeah, 17 or something.
Yeah, and now it's 18, and it's going to be, they're projecting it's going to be 2021 by the time he leaves office.
It's going to be just horrible. And so what, you know, but what I find that's very, you know, I just had this conversation on Twitter again, by the way, that Riot show on Twitter, if you really want to catch a lot of this offline discussion or off-show discussion, is that, you know, people still saying, even the dopey mayor, communist mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, is on a national tour espousing the off-turd, the top 1% have to pay their fair share. They have to pay their fair share, Larry.
I know, they're not paying anything.
Yeah. Let's get something straight. We've said it 100 times. The definition of fairness is a flat tax.
The percentage.
1% for everybody. If everybody pays 20%, that is by definition fair. What assholes like Bill de Blasio, Elizabeth Warren, allegedly Hillary Clinton, and people like that,
and Obama,
what they mean by a fair tax is actually a penalty on success. They don't want fairness. They want repressive, oppressive tax rates. The more you succeed, the more you earn, the more you accumulate, the more you pay. Okay? Call that whatever you want. Say it's compassionate. Say it's redistribution. Call it whatever, but call it what it is. That's not fairness.
Right.
We've said, if I earn 10 times more than you, you know how we figure out what each one of us pays? We each pay the same percentage.
Right.
And that's equality. That is fairness. Anything other than that is not fairness. It's bullshit is what it is.
Right.
All right? So for all you liberals, don't start telling me, oh, it's not fair that the 1% owns, 80% of the wealth, 90% of the wealth. Why does that bother me?
Yeah. Why do I care?
I didn't earn any of it, so why should I have any rights to it? I don't get it. I don't understand why the hatred for successful people. As long as they're not breaking the law, as long as they're not, like, murdering babies, then I don't give a fuck that 1% owns 90%. That same 1% you vilify pays for 75% of the federal budget. They pay for 3/4 of everything. So what the fuck? I don't get it. That mindset is crazy to me.
Yeah, their main component, I've had this argument a million times with people on the left, is their assumption of just the government is that they have the right to just to decide, well, you know, arbitrarily, like, look, you're making too much. You have too much, and you could afford to give more because, you know what, even if we took like half your money over, you're still going to have plenty left over.
Yeah.
So you don't seem to understand that what you make in your lifetime, that's your money. All right. It's not for the government to arbitrarily decide you have too much or you can give more.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Why is half so magical? I don't get it. Why is half? Why is a quarter so magical? Listen, when we talk about a flat tax and we use a number like 20%, you know, because that seems to be the oft-mentioned flat tax rate. It tends to be somewhere between 17 and 21%.
The upper teens.
Yeah, whenever you talk to someone. And that comes from the fact that, you know, if you got 20% from everybody, it would fund the federal government. Okay?
Okay.
So that's why I think people...
You'd probably get more money.
You probably would.
Probably people would have less of a reason to cheat.
Sure.
Get rid of all those loopholes that drive Democrats crazy.
Right.
Remember briefly Obama was going on about private jets?
Sure. All those deductions.
Added up like $300 million, which is really nothing if you think of how much money the government spends. But all those loopholes would be eliminated in a flat tax system. You would just have everybody paying like 18-19%, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you
wouldn't have incentive to not earn money like you do now. Right now, if you're at like sort of the 28% and the 33% bracket, you start to think about it like, if I put in the extra 10 hours a week, it takes me to earn that extra 5%.
I'm going
to lose it. What's going to happen? Am I going to be in a weird case where I get a raise, but it ends up costing me more in taxes and I lose tax? Why make the tax code any more complicated? As much of a goofball as Steve Forbes is, he's right. Everything should fit on a postcard.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was his big thing. Do your taxes on your
postcard. I earned $100,000. 20% of 100,000 is 20,000. That's my taxes, all said and done. You passed that. Okay?
And the best part about a system like that also, it would allow you to dress down the IRS down to the size and the powers that they should really have.
Yeah.
As opposed to this kind of
pseudo
sometimes, yeah, I was about to say, sometimes menacing
yeah.
organization that can take people to court. They've got the money to withstand anything. You right. know, if they go to the court with some individual, how long can you fight with them? How long right. can you pay lawyers and stand up to them? You the can't. IRS should be nothing more than just processing papers. And all right, look, you want to give them some power to look into cheats? All right.
Yeah.
But right now, they're
do you know what nasty. Do you know what the IRS should be? Four Asians and about 40 computers. That's what the IRS should be right by now.
All right, we can't use that formula. Those are the guys who helped me figure out the Super Bowl.
But that's really what it should be. A couple of Asian guys with thick glasses running on computers. A couple of nerds.
And some basically. Guy named Saul running around with a clipboard.
Basically, right? But past that, why do you need the IRS if you think about it? You need it because we keep managing all the nonsense that comes out of Congress. By the way, if you want to cut out crony capitalism, you want to cut out, you know, a lot of the bullshit that happens with enterprise zones and
corporate welfare.
You know, what's it, corporate welfare, all that shit, states that are fucking around with tax laws so they can attract businesses and stuff. If you get rid of that and make it a flat tax with no deductions, guess what happens? All that shit disappears.
Yeah.
So, and believe it or not, I'm with you liberals on that particular point. Why give the government more power to fuck around with the economy?
Right.
I don't blame a corporation that takes advantage of paying off a politician to get favoritism. No. It's not the corporation's fault. They're doing what they do to maximize profit. That is their legal responsibility to their shareholders.
To their shareholders.
All right? Yeah. They're not in business to lose money or to be compassionate, as much as we'd like to think so, okay?
But a system like this would also yeah. do away with any, like you said, any cronyism between the government and corporations.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of shenanigans going on. You know what? You get rid of all that.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's 20% for everyone and no deductions, what do I have to play with if I'm a politician? I can't offer anything to anybody.
Which is probably why they're against it.
Well, right. Plus, it'll wipe out the IRS, pretty much. You could probably reduce the IRS by 80%, you know, which, thank God for that.
Yeah, let them just
run less government agency, yeah. as far as I'm concerned. Fuck them in the ass. So why are we, again, it's this notion that liberals have that fairness has to be punitive on the successful.
Right. You're making more, you should pay more.
Right? That's the only reason why a flat tax isn't being embraced by liberals that I could tell. Because all the good that'll come from it, liberals are willing to wipe out, Larry,
right.
just so they could say, we punish the Steve Forbes of the world, we punish the Bill Gates of the world, we punish those people that for some reason we think $250,000 a year somehow
yeah.
magically makes you a tyrant in this country.
No, but they also, they're associating that, like, now you're wealthy.
Exactly.
$250,000. Let me tell you something. You're not wealthy if you live in this city on $250,000. Yeah. I can tell you right now.
Yeah, and I know for some of you that might be living in different areas of the country, you go, wow, $250,000. I could buy like a 6-bedroom house, have money left over. We get it. We're not trying to sound pompous. But if you live in areas like LA, right. New York, Chicago,
Boston, yeah.
$250,000, we're not going to cry poverty at $250,000 a year, okay? That's not being poor.
No, no, it's nice.
But you still have to work for a living.
Right, but you're not rich.
You know what my definition of wealthy is? And again, it's purely personal, Larry.
Yeah, of course.
It's that you have enough capital where you don't have to work for capital, as weird as that sounds. Meaning the interest of your money, the investments of your money, right. or what you can live off of.
You have enough that you can just live off.
Right, you don't have to go to work. You don't have to go hustle for your daily bread, as it were. To me, that's the definition of wealthy. Others may have different definitions, okay? But to me, and I think for most people intuitively,
yeah.
that would be wealth. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about what we would call regular purchases. Like, oh my God, I just bought a new Toyota. Is that going to make me or break me? Can I afford the lease? Can I afford the payments? You know,
that's right.
Like that to me is wealth or being well off. At $250,000 a year, you're not poor. Even in New York, say New York City, you're not poor at $250,000.
No, not at all.
Let's be honest. I'm not going to sit here and cry poverty.
No, you're doing all right.
You're doing all right, but it's not to the point where you now have to support the people who don't earn $250,000.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, that's what you have to ask yourself, liberals. If you want to help someone so badly with your taxes, Larry,
right.
why don't you give them the money directly?
Yep.
I've never understood that. And for all the people that say you deserve government services, you deserve money, because after all, it's a government of the people, and I'm a people, guess what? I mention this to everybody who gives me that argument. Why don't you go door to door in your neighborhood and ask people to give you money because you don't feel like working or you feel it's your right to have their money? Why cut out the middleman? Just go to everybody's door and say, give me 10 bucks this week. Would you do that? Would you feel comfortable doing that? Do you think that those people would constantly give you $10 a week? Or would eventually they say, why am I working to give you $10 a week? See, the government is this wonderful tool, Larry, that hides this part of the logic for a lot of liberals.
Without the wonderful.
Yeah. Why don't you go to your neighborhood? Go to the neighborhood you live in, that you sleep in, that you work in, and say, you know what? I'm a little short this week. Or I think I deserve a car just like the guy down the road does. My car's shitty. I deserve a better one. Go ask each of your neighbors to chip in to pay for a new car for you. Why do you want the government to do it? Because the government is somewhat anonymous. If it takes place in Washington, it's not really real, is it, Larry?
No, but also the people like you because they think it's justified then. Like if it comes from the government, that's like, it's almost like, well, that's okay.
Right.
It's coming from
Uncle Sam. It's the anonymity of it. Right.
Yeah. It's coming from the state. So it's great.
Right. So I don't know how we got here from the Amtrak crash, to be honest with you.
Because we were talking about subsidies and government waste and, and this guy and his funny name. So,
Bastian Booger. That's the guy, Bastian Booger. From the late 90s in the WWE.
But I'm
a wrestling fan too.
I wish they would give the flat tax just a shot. You know, even Ted Kennedy, before he died, I remember watching once he was at the podium and they in the Senate, and they were talking about it. He goes, the flat tax is something we could look at. Like, even he, maybe, I don't know if he was bullshitting, but he threw it out there. Like, give it a shot. You currently have a system where the people at the top are paying the majority, depending on who numbers you use, but people in the middle are paying a bunch, and then people at the bottom are actually not paying very much, if anything, at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even pay income tax.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, the oft-hated, or much-hated, rather, Mitt Romney, when he was running for office this last time out, when he said, I'm only talking to the 47% of people who pay taxes or don't pay taxes, whatever the case was. Basically, let's round it off. Half the people in this country don't pay federal income tax.
That's right.
Half. Okay? Whether it's because of poverty, whether it's because of deductions, whether it's because of any sort of shenanigans, the bottom line, half don't pay any taxes. So you already have the case where only half the people in this country of eligible taxpayers are footing the bill for the other half.
Right.
Okay? Now you want to narrow it down that you want the top 1% to foot the bill basically for everybody. Because as we said, something like the top 10% takes care of 90% of the federal bill, 1% takes care of 74% of the bill. So what to you is more fair? I challenge anyone out there to work that works for a living, right, to say, here's your salary. By the way, you earned $100 today. 50 of it we're just going to take right out of your hands.
Yeah.
But don't worry, because we're going to give you some shitty government services as compensation. Whether you need them or not, that's the other thing. Whether you need them or not, you're going to get them, and we're going to take this money from you. And then, of the 50 bucks out of the 100 that's left, there's going to be some asshole following you around all the time saying, why do you have 50? I only have 30. If you give me 10, then we'll both have 40.
Right.
See, when you personalize it this way, it sounds ridiculous. This is how I explained economics to my 12-year-old niece, okay? And she, in all her wisdom, said to me, why would anybody sign up for something like that? And I had no answer for her. Because even a fucking 12-year-old can understand that that's bullshit. You want to help the poor, Larry? Do a negative income tax. Up to a certain amount, right? Whatever the poverty line is, $15,000 a year, $20,000 a year, whatever it is. Let's say it's $15,000 a year.
Yeah.
If you earn less than $15,000, the government gives you a check to supplement the difference between your income and $15,000. That's it. Boom. Done. Still have a flat tax.
Right.
That's it. What's so hard about that? Oh, wait. We took a whole 10 layers of government out of the process. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're going to immediately complain because the 20% would represent, based on current levels, it would represent a reduction for those rich people they hate so much.
Good.
And those successful people.
Yeah.
And then you have everybody paying the same amount. And, look, you're dealing with people who just want people who make more to pay either all or most of it.
Yeah.
And they want people at the bottom to pay nothing. The only thing is, people at the bottom, you know, they're not looking at their taxes as, I mean, because they're not paying very much of it. You know, they need a fairer and a simpler system too. It would benefit everybody. I've seen studies on this. Even countries like Lithuania have gone with the flat tax, and they started like getting more money, and they found that people who were cheating. We talked about people like not paying their taxes in Greece and places like that. You know, you find that when you remove loopholes, when you give people a reason not to cheat, look, they'll pay their amount, and that's it. Obviously, the government has to have some amount of money. But the current system is just...
It's hard.
It's regressive. Yeah. It's terrible.
Let me just end this on this, motherfuckers. You see my shirt? See what it says? It's Greek. Ancient Greek. Molon lave. It means come and get it. I know it's often applied to the Second Amendment and guns, but it also goes for my money, bitches.
That's right. And this is French, and it says Quebec Ramparts.
There you go. International this week.
This is it.
All right. Okay. General Larium, let's move off of that. Let's move on to something fun that I want to propose to you.
Are we staying international?
No.
Okay.
Here's what I would like to propose to you.
Yes.
First of all, I'd like to propose some titties on the screen.
Hey.
Because it's been a while.
Nice?
There you go. All right. So, Larry, I want to do this to you because, and we'll get Phil on this later.
Oh, okay.
Top bitch you would like to bang right now. Celebrity or otherwise. You like so, that transition?
Oh, wow. You know, I've always had a weird thing for Jessica Biel. I'm still going to pick her.
Jessica Biel.
I like her.
Remember this scene from, what was it, Chuck and Larry?
Chuck and Larry.
With the bouncy ass in the nice panties.
Yeah. Show something else. Show what that stupid movie she made with Wesley Snipes where she kicks the shit out of her.
Oh, what was that, with the vampire killer?
Yeah.
Blade. Thank you, Phil. Well, while you're at it, Phil, put up something from Blade with Jessica Biel.
Let me tell you something.
All right.
I saw her once. She and Timberlake there. I mean, I know they just recently had a baby or something. But, like, they've been living in the Tribeca area, I believe. And I definitely saw her once jogging past me one night.
Oh,
and,
really?
It was definitely her. And, like, I was just like, as she went by, I just went, like a total fucking idiot, like almost like a bad movie.
That ass must be unbelievable.
No, but her whole body is fantastic.
Yeah.
And she looked like so healthy and just
healthy.
She just looked great. And so if I had a picture, I'd pick her.
Yeah. You know, I mine changes depending on which porn I happen to be watching at the time. But anyway, actually the one that's really been starting to catch me on lately, and it's all due to the way she's appeared, is Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, you like her now.
That whole thing, I don't like her red hair, she's been an actress since she's been like 10 or 12. But like that body, especially with that whole Black Widow outfit, you know, the one piece thing, very nice.
The lips.
Yeah.
And her face is pretty too.
Oh, she's a local girl.
See, I was talking about her pussy, Phil.
Put that up there.
Nice.
Nice, right. But actually, I also read an article that said that somebody rediscovered some ancient Greek philosophical texts.
More Greek.
Yeah. And they actually had a formula for what the perfect woman was. Because, you know, they were all mathematicians and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know how it used to be in the 50s here? You always heard about...
it's like weird science.
36, 24, 36 was the perfect woman. Remember those measurements? Yeah, like Marilyn Monroe, 36-inch bust, 24-inch hips, 36-inch legs, right? So apparently... Somebody who had nothing better to do, and it wasn't me, translated those measurements into today's woman, and they found that the one that would have matched that ideal was Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really?
That proportion of, like, tits to ass and hip, you know, was...
Okay.
What the ancient Greeks thought was hot.
I was going to...
And by the way, you got to go by that because they invented geometry.
And think of all those little boys.
Well, that's the ass part.
I thought you were going to say Sophia Vergara.
Oh, she's hot too.
No, but I thought you meant like a shape.
I'm sure she might be on there just because she's busty and she's got a nice ass to her and everything.
Yeah, but she has a woman's shape.
She does.
She has a crazy woman's shape. It's insane, but, you know, they're all like stick figures now.
Yeah, until you have to hear her talk. How funny about putting a dick in my mouth?
That was funny, though. I hate listening to her. It sounds like she's a dick. What's wrong having a dick in my mouth?
Yeah, that was from the mean tweets.
That was actually very funny.
Phil! Who's the chick you want to bang?
I like both of them.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You like, what does that mean? You like Jessica Biel and Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, you mix them together?
Well, you're playing with the images there. Yeah. Why don't you just smush them together? There you go.
Oh, man.
Nice. Nice. Phil can't make up his mind, so he wants a Phil sandwich where he's the meat in between the two.
Is that really who you would have picked? You would have picked either Beale or Scarlett Johansson? Yeah.
He's just nodding yes. I think he just doesn't.
She looked beautiful in Blade. She looks good in.
A Blade?
Blade, I mean.
Blade. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And she looks great in Avengers.
In the Avengers, yeah. You know what it is? Phil just doesn't want to get on either one of our bad sides.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of chicks to pick from.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. And like I said, depending on the violent, horrible porns that I watch, it changes from year to year.
There's a couple actresses who are not very well known who I think are really good.
Like who?
Did you know an actress named Susan Ward?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she was in, her big movie was The In Crowd.
Okay.
But then she was, did you ever see Susan Ward?
Yeah. Susan Ward.
Yeah, there's black hair, blue eyes, very pretty. She got a little heavy. Zorn's movie, she got a little heavy, but she was also in Shallow Hat. Did you ever see that comedy?
It's a stretch to call it a comedy, but yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes, I think I did, yeah.
Okay. Well, she played the neighbor who first wouldn't go out with Jack Black. And she is actually really good looking, and her career has always been kind of, you know, she's been relegated pretty much to small parts, but she is really good looking.
You like that, huh?
Oh, she is. She's got big blue eyes and black hair. She's from like Mississippi or something, but she's had quite a career. She's really good looking.
And by the way, when we say hot chicks, we're not taking personality into account because any of the ones we mentioned probably are too fucked up for us to put up with.
That's probably true.
Like Scarlett Johansson is hanging out with Sean Penn. No,
No, that's Charlize Theron.
That's Charlize Theron, who also is hot, by the way. Yeah. She's hot, by the way. But they're all nuts. I mean, who needs to listen to women talk? I got my wife for that.
Mila Kunis. She's another one.
Who?
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
A little flat-chested, don't you think? Yeah. Looks like a boy? You agree,
yeah,
too?
That's why I like
it. You like it? Yeah, Phil. Yeah. You can't get chicks pregnant fucking them in the ass, Phil. You know
How
that,
about
right?
that redhead on Mad Men? Do you like her? Or is her
Christina Hendricks.
Too much?
No, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Listen, I'm not a stick figure kind of guy.
No,
like,
not at all.
What's her face? Cameron Diaz?
Yes, I was just about to say that. You know what's terrible? She was in a movie with Jim Carrey,
The Mask.
And she looked great. I mean, she really looked just voluptuous. The next couple of movies I saw, and she was that stupid Charlie's Angels movie. That she was like. I wish everyone could see the lighting in here. She was just like, and they all do that. They all like, I don't know if that's just like a pressure in Hollywood or whatever, but
well,
they think
thin automatically means hot.
Yeah, but this is too thin. They're like almost like,
no, I mean, look, there's something for women who are not fat, who are not out of shape. By the way, don't get fooled by that stupid promotion that has fat chicks acting like models. Okay. That's nothing.
All that thing where back pictures.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Fat chicks, no one thinks you're hot. Take my word for it. Yeah, okay? We just put up with you so we don't have to hear you complain about it or listen to other people tell us how we should not be body shaming you.
You listen
Guess
to
what?
Lawrence O'Donnell?
Lose a few pounds. You'll be healthier and you'll be amazed how many more men find you attractive.
And if you're a lesbian, you'll find out how many women find you.
Exactly. You'll get a better class of lesbo too. Trust
there you
me.
Go.
You don't have to end up with Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, jeez. I'm not
looking.
Okay? I'm not looking.
You don't have to end up with Rosie O'Donnell. Lose a few LBs, okay? Maybe you won't have diabetes or heart failure. Maybe you could get up and exercise a little bit. All right? And, of course, even though it's Big Fat John, okay, men are not measured by the same standard.
No, they're not.
You know what it is? It's a double standard.
It is.
Okay?
Because these two faces got on.
Yeah.
On
sorry. It's a double standard. I'm sorry. Okay? It's not like you could be fat like I am and be a pussy magnet. But I could still get one or two, okay? I don't have to worry about it as much as you ladies have to.
What
okay?
are you?
Huh?
What are you?
I said I am not a pussy magnet.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm horribly sorry that you're fat and unattractive. Calling yourself attractive doesn't make you attractive.
That's
We've
right.
learned that.
Even if you're running for president.
Yeah, exactly. For example, Lena Dunham.
Oh, Jesus.
Why this bitch finds it necessary to constantly get naked or wear tight spandex pants with muffin tops seeping over, and then she'll put on her Instagram account working out, looking hot, or whatever the fuck she puts down. She doesn't look hot. Nobody needs to see her ass eaten on HBO. or her friend's ass eaten on HBO. That is the most ugly collection of unfunny broads that I've ever seen. I don't understand. She has a godfather or something, godmother at HBO, Larry. I don't know how that fucking show is still on the air. Like, I watched
two episodes. Yeah. I almost, like, fell out of my chair.
Yeah, because I said, let me watch it. You know, I have to give it a shot before I fucking run it down. I'm not going to base it simply on the fact that she looks like a troll ogre, okay? It's like, I'm not going to base it on that.
Okay.
It was unfunny. Maybe it's original in the sense that nobody ever thought of putting a fat, ugly chick and making her the naked star of a show before, so maybe it's original in that sense. But I find it unfunny.
No, of course.
I don't find any depth to it at all.
I don't remember laughing at anything.
And even, Brian Williams' daughter's on that, the one that had her ass eaten out. That one. She's not attractive either. I'm trying to figure out why this show is so highly, and I mean, its ratings are dropping, thankfully, so hopefully it'll be off the air in a season or two.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But to listen to her, and then to be that ugly, where you actually have to listen to her opinions, Larry?
Is she the one, let's flip the question, is she the one you would least want to bang?
Right now, I have to, I mean, among celebrities of any
sort. We're limited to celebrities.
Yeah.
We pick women we know no one's going to.
Exactly.
Nobody watching.
I would say she might be.
She's it?
Probably the bottom of the barrel, all things considered, because not only is she fugly, she's a flatso. She's like, she weighs a ton and has no tits. She's not pretty. She's got that nasal look to her. She's like a pear. You know, she's like liquid. She takes the shape of any container she's poured into. She's horrible. I don't understand what, again, I don't know. It's just, ugh.
Ugh. I have to pick.
I wouldn't fuck Lena Dunham with his dick.
And he could.
I don't know.
Lena Dunham? She's disgusting. I have to pick Whoopi Goldberg.
I was thinking of. Whoopi Goldberg. That's
is that it, Phil?
Yep.
I gotta tell you, there is just something repulsive about her. Please don't send me an email saying it's racial.
I would fuck Whoopi Goldberg.
What?
I would fuck Whoopi Goldberg.
Get off the show.
I would fuck her before Lena Dunham in a heartbeat.
Christ, are you kidding me? Whoopi,
I would fuck her ahead
so
of Lena
nasty.
Dunham.
Oh,
yes, I would fuck her in front of Lena Dunham.
There is something, but I remember when Triumph the Insult comic who's climbing on, he goes, oh, you're scaring me. Your hand looks like Chinese food. She is just disgusting.
I didn't say she's my top three. I'm just saying,
no, I'm just telling you.
Given the choice of Lena Dunham or Whoopi Goldberg,
oh, come on. Whoopi Goldberg. Thank God.
Who would you fuck? Whoopi Goldberg and Lena Dunham. Those are your two. You can't jerk off. You can't fuck Phil in the ass. You got to pick Lena Dunham or Whoopi Goldberg. Who would you do? I'm off the books, too.
Okay. Oh,
that's your choice. Lena Dunham or Whoopi Goldberg?
Dunham.
You would fuck Dunham.
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg is just so vile.
That's just racist.
It is, because Lisa Dunham is white. Whoopi Goldberg. And Melissa McCartney kind of scares me.
McCartney. The fat chick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, now if you tell me Lena Dunham or Melissa McCarthy, that's a tougher choice.
Why?
Of the two.
Yeah, weird standard. But
Lena Dunham is horrible.
Whoopi Goldberg, I don't think I could actually get hard.
Is there an old chick you would fuck?
Oh, Jesus. Yes! Martha Stewart.
All right, Martha Stewart. All right. Martha Stewart.
I just saw her on the Comedy Roast. She looks good.
She's
and
rich.
And she's been to prison.
She's rich?
Oh, yeah.
You could bang her, and she used to be a model.
And she knows how to make blueberry scones.
There you go. After you eat her pussy, she'll make you some lunch.
Well, I tried, but it caught me.
Phil, why are you gagging, Phil? I don't get it.
He's dying.
See, Phil moved in front of the booth now, so we can actually see him.
He's waving. We go back to Jessica.
Yeah, and he's just laughing and gagging and all this in front of us right now. But no, you know who I was going to think you were going to say?
Kim Jong-un.
No. Kim Jong-un. I was going to say Helen Mirren.
Oh,
that British girl. She still has those huge knockers.
Yeah, but I was just about to say that's about
very
it.
Firm
that's
knockers.
It.
She's not. I'm a knockers today. I'm a breast disease man.
Yeah, but when they're that old, it's not real.
Hey, as long as they're up and firm. You remember her in Caligula? It's like 30 years ago?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't really remember paying attention to people's faces.
She's also that case of what happens to actresses who used to take their tops off all the time when they get old. Like, you never think of that. Like, if you're, right, Phil? If you're like a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, you're showing your titties all over the place. What happens when you're 60? Are you still showing your titties around?
Well, Betty White does. I don't know.
Now, would you fuck her for the story?
No.
Not even for the story?
No.
Wow.
She's 90.
I know
John,
she's 90.
John, wake up.
So just get a tub of grease. That's all you need.
Let me tell you something. I'm 51. Anything even right now above 60 is like...
No, I'm not saying anything.
Really
I'm saying
it's
that for the story. Like when you're 65, you don't want to say, I once fucked Betty White when she was 90?
I can top that.
That'll get you a couple of
tears. When I was 18, my friends and I here in the city, we went to a strip joint. We got to take pictures of Philip Sagan, who was a porn star. So
nobody fucked you, though?
Well, you weren't allowed to. It was just a row of just guys in line. Oh. You got to go up and like handle her and she'd smile and laugh at you.
Nice.
She was very friendly.
You should have stuck your cock out. Maybe she would have taken pity on you.
Yeah, maybe the two black guys standing on the side of her would have kicked my ass and I wouldn't be here right now. Thanks, my friend.
Nice.
I'd rather fuck Whoopi Goldberg. No, but she's
see?
She was just frightening. I watched like 5 minutes. That's it. I watched about 5 minutes of how Stella got her groove back about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. 5 minutes. That's all I could watch. She was the best friend in it. You know, I'm not trying to be mean. You know how vile she is? Let's put it this way. They were supposed to be in Jamaica. They can't put her in a bikini or like a one piece to walk around because of her body. So they had to keep covering her in like these like valley kind of like Stevie Nicks asshole bohemian outfits. Oh, please. Get away from me.
She dated who was that actor?
Ted Danson.
Oh, yeah,
she only goes out with white guys. She's one of those weird, like De Niro only goes out with Blanchett. There are people who just do stuff like
that. Some people like chocolate, some people like vanilla. There's no counter for taste.
That's right. Look at you. John routinely puts his Greek chocolate in my Italian love factory. There it is.
Just like Tartufo.
Can we put a picture up of Greece invading Italy?
Did that ever happen?
No.
Where's Phil going to find a picture?
Oh, you can find anything on the internet.
I'll find something.
Put up a picture of Tartufo instead.
Yes.
Symbolism. It's like a Fellini film.
But,
all right.
Enough of that.
We've reduced ourselves to the ridiculous. But anyway, so who did we end up with? Jessica Biel, on your list.
I like Jessica Biel.
Scarlett Johansson, top on my list.
Yeah.
And Phil wants some weird sandwich of the
two. Girl in Replacements, the replacement. She was hot.
Who?
What's her name?
That football movie?
Yeah, Brooke Langton.
Brooke Langton. You know what, Phil?
Hot.
I'll give you credit on Brooke Langton.
Yeah.
She was hot. I didn't see her in anything else. Brunette, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
Nice smile.
Beautiful body.
You're a faggot. Why don't you pick somebody hot?
Hot.
Nice
Look
eyes.
Look at her. She's hot.
She's okay. I didn't say she's ugly.
She was wearing cheerleading outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still gay. Yeah. Pick somebody vivacious, for God's sake. I like your sandwich better.
Check out Susan Ward.
All right. Just busted, Phil. Hope that doesn't prevent him from speaking up in the future. Because I called him a faggot. And by the way, by faggot, I did mean gay.
That's right.
In this particular context, it did mean gay.
It did not mean British cigarettes.
No, it did not.
I
didn't mean it to be effeminate like when we were kids. So for all of you people out there that wish to protest, please send all your email to
your mother.
I don't give a fuck at thatriotshow.com.
That's it. Translation, go send it to your mother. You don't fucking care. It's not like we're gonna read them.
All right. So Larry, let's move on to the next topic. We've talked about tits, we've talked about government, let's talk about this. We touched on it last week. I think I kind of predicted it, if I'm not mistaken. Tom Brady, 4-game suspension, Patriots. Find, what was it, $1 million?
$1 million.
And a first rounder.
First and fourth rounder.
First next year, and the fourth rounder the year after that.
Oh, okay.
And 4 games for Brady.
Yeah, he's appealing.
Wow. What'd you think of that?
We touched on this, Brady. We both thought that there would be, play balls. We both thought there'd be a punishment, but I actually didn't think it would be this.
Really?
I really didn't. No, I didn't think they'd do the money, the picks, and the suspension. First of all, the craft $1 million doesn't mean shit.
$1 million is just a charity donation at this point.
The guy wipes his ass with $1 million. The picks and I just didn't think it was going to be that, you know, because look, ultimately Ray Rice knocked the shit out of his wife. Only got 2 games.
I've heard that. A lot of so-called talking heads have said that, but let's hold on a second.
When Ray Rice
got 2 games, he got 2 games with the understanding on the wife's testimony and on Rice's testimony, allegedly that they hadn't seen the tape yet, that he just pushed her or something like that after an argument, and because the wife wasn't pressing charges or anything, the girlfriend slash wife, that's why he got two games. Obviously.
Yeah, but they knew what happened. You saw him dragging her out.
No, that was after.
After footage is when they actually got the footage inside the elevator where she's like him, and then
he just drills her like that.
No, they already had the footage of him dragging her out.
But at the end of the day, he lost a year and probably his career over it.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't think it's quite equivalent to say, well,
I'm just trying to size up how they do these things. Like, that's an act of violence.
Well, I'll tell you.
So you would assume that would be worse than, you know, and now somebody else came out and said that the Brady's have been doing this all along.
Well, here's the funny thing. I think it has to do with two things. One is the so-called integrity of the game. So as weird as it sounds, punching abroad in an elevator initially to the league at least probably isn't as severe as somebody cheating to win games. So you gotta be careful with that. It doesn't need to make sense, but it's consistent in that. For example, betting on a football game, if you're a player, probably gets you banned for life, okay? As opposed to slapping your woman around.
Yeah.
All right? Because one, and again, don't forget, the NFL is not a police force, okay? They are not responsible for making sure that a player lives his life according to other people's rules of law, okay? They're not a police force. I understand. I'm not advocating for wife
beating. But they do it.
They do it because it's a PR issue. At the time they gave two games to Ray Rice, that was what appeared to be the PR thing to do. But with integrity of the game issues, like cheating, betting on games, things like that, they have to come down hard.
Right.
Now, two things that I heard from various, you know, the NFL.com, newspaper accounts, other reporters, plus some people that I still know from my days working the sports beat, is that two things. One, the Patriots were assholes when it came to the investigation.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't give anything up.
Uncooperative.
Uncooperative.
Didn't turn over emails.
Typical stuff, all right? The second thing is they had Spygate on their record, meaning that in very recent times, they were caught cheating again, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and the third thing, actually, that a lot of people are not really taking into consideration was their borderline bullshit that they pulled against the Ravens in the playoff game. Right. Which was those weird formations.
Yeah, that illegal formation.
Well, it was legal at the time, but it was clearly meant to confuse and hide what was happening beyond what the rules intended. So it was beyond the spirit of the rules, right? So even though the formation was legal according to the rule book, it was illegal in the sense that there's always this rule that says no undue deception can take place, meaning that...
Which is what it was.
So, you know, but, of course, when they were questioned about that, I believe Brady's response was, well, maybe the Ravens need to read the rule book a little bit more, or something to that effect. So, you're dealing with a franchise and a quarterback that is basically an asshole to authority.
Yeah.
Okay? So, guess what? They're not going to get any slack in this type of thing. Like, it'd be one thing if Peyton Manning did it, for example. He might get a lesser suspension, A, because he hasn't been caught before, B, the Broncos aren't known as cheaters, and C, he probably would have said, yeah, I did it, I'm sorry, or something like that.
Right.
Brady did none of that. The Patriots did none of that. Okay? So four games, a first-round pick, and a fourth-round pick, I think it's fair. And guess what?
Yeah.
It's fair under the premise of it's all their other past sins catching up to them, too.
See, the other thing is that they're going to bring up is that the statement that came out from the guy who did the investigation, he didn't even say that they did it. He said, it's probably like more likely than not that they did it. Which, if you're a lawyer, because I have friends who are, you can destroy that argument like in 2 seconds. That is a shitty way of phrasing it. Because they eat stuff like that up. Because that is so unspecific. It is so in other words, they're going to say, well, what are you basing that on? So basically, you're just saying, well, we had to take a shot at it. We assume he deflated it, so it would be easier for him to grip.
Well, good thing then that this is not a court of law.
Yeah.
Because that shit goes out the window. It's up to an arbitrator, of course, now that Brady's appealed, it goes to an arbitrator.
Yeah.
According to the collective bargaining agreement, it could be Roger Goodell himself or someone that Goodell appoints. Good luck trying to get a neutral arbitrator in this case.
Yeah.
Goodell's probably going to pick someone who's favorable to the league, all right? And the truth of the matter is, unless Brady gets people to say he never did it, that he never went near those footballs or anything like that, I think it's going to stand.
I don't know the guy's name, but I just, because I only caught the, I caught it from the middle of the conversation. I was watching the NFL channel today, and they named the lawyer or whoever's going to represent Brady or whoever, mm-hmm. and they just said this. I forgot his name, but they went, he has a history of kicking the NFL's ass.
Right.
Like some guy who's yes. like a real shark and,
right.
you know, like when he goes through this language that this guy, Weddell or whatever his name was who did the investigation, when he goes through it, I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be surprised if the, like the four games goes down to two
yeah.
or zero. The draft picks I think are gone, but you know what? I don't even think the Patriots care about that.
No,
they're
they
used to dragging yeah. it. They're used to drafting at the end of the round and, you know, I mean, if they have more, they have bigger concerns than that. They lost like eight important people in free agency.
Well, that's why those picks are important. Like, people who say, well, any team can do without its first. No, that's a strict punishment. It's going to hurt them. Yeah. So good for the Patriots. Fuck them in the ass, too. I don't care for the Patriots either. Fuck them.
Yeah. I like the fact that we root for the team that beat them twice.
Yeah.
So they, for all their bragging they do, how they've owned the league, well, there's one team that owns you, so fuck you. Goofy Eli owns your ass. So
but it's one of those things that I think, you know, when you look at it, even though a lot of people are like, oh, well, the white beater got two games or whatever, you know, it's just not going to, I don't think that plays well with people. You know, integrity of the game really just, you know, is a big issue. You have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
All right, Larry, what do you want to move on to? Oh, North Korea. Our favorite wonderland.
Larry, where do you want to go on? Hey, North Korea!
Yeah, sorry, I just jumped right in.
That's okay. Yes, actually, it's all right. That's actually what I was going to pick.
Right, okay.
Right there. Your right favorite there. Thing, North yes. Korea. Okay. Kim Jong-un, who I made a little joke about earlier, he has executed his defense chief. He has accused him of treason. You know, I get this. This guy's name is Hyung Yong Chol.
What?
I know, it comes with brown rice. Don't worry about it. This guy is the defense chief. Now, check this out. He's being accused of falling asleep during meetings, disagreeing with Un on a couple of whatever the fuck that we're going to shoot missiles into the sea, like whatever it is. Like, apparently, the guy actually like stood up to him a little bit from something that I read,
yeah.
and he was actually willing to voice his opinion.
Right.
So, according to what's being said by South Korean officials, Kim Jong-un had this guy killed by anti-aircraft fire at a military school. And he made sure that he had a couple of hundred witnesses in around because the regime, you know, obviously rules by fear and they want to get this out there that they've done this. But yeah. then the same story went on to say that he's now killed in the past like year or two, something like two dozen
yeah.
of like his top generals. And he just keeps accusing them all of.
Yeah, and he fed his uncle to starved dogs.
Oh, that was the other one. That was cool.
So all of you who think Republicans are too tough.
Yeah, fuck you. Jesus Christ.
Now, I just want to review this. They executed a guy.
Yeah,
and bad. Again, let me also put this little sort of disclaimer in there. I don't give a fuck how many of those guys get killed.
Yeah.
I really don't. Fuck it. They're all criminal communist cocksuckers. Whether Kim Jong-un or whatever his fucking name is kills them or they die on their own or somebody puts a bullet through their head, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I really don't.
The world's a better place.
Yeah, they're all criminals, okay? They're all responsible for, in some effect, for mass murder, even of their own citizens, right? So I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit that this guy basically got executed in what amounts to a Bugs Bunny Roadrunner type of fashion. They put him in front of anti-aircraft missiles, not like a firing squad. They didn't hang him. They didn't poison him. They didn't feed him even to fucking dogs. They fired, like, what, you ever see, like, I don't know what they're called, I'm not a military expert. You ever see, Larry, those anti-aircraft missiles, like, they're on top of tanks, and they're, like, almost in a box, and it has, right. like, six silos for small heat-seeking missiles, and yeah. they just go,
right, yes.
They took a couple of those, and they pointed them at a guy 50 yards away.
That is great.
It's how the coyote gets blown up by the Roadrunner.
But you know what? Of all the things you listed, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if I give you a choice, all right, you're going to get eaten by dogs. You have to be alive for it. Okay, we're going to hang you. I don't want to be hung. Well, I want to be hung, but I mean, for God's sake, Then the firing squad, they had that firing squad that one time, the guys fucked up, they shot him like in the elbow and the balls. He didn't die right away and they had So look, of all of them, fine. Go over there and shoot a fucking missile in my, I won't even know what happened. I'm like, boom.
Wouldn't you love to have the video of that? That would be hilarious.
We gotta get it.
Put some
bits
in. Phil, work on that, right? Work on that, Phil. Because we gotta get it and then put it to like Benny Hill music. One of those.
Wouldn't it be great if like before they put on the blindfold, like he came out like on the kitchen, yes.
Or they give him a cigarette and he's like too nervous, takes it in one drink. He got blowed up like the fucking canoe. I can't get over that, Larry.
And he keeps doing it. He just keeps killing all these like top generals. Like, here's a funny thing.
Yeah.
You know what the worst thing is to hear in the North Korean army?
Was that
like, sergeant? You're now a colonel. Why would you want to like work for this guy? Basically, and they're all guys who were loyal to his father.
Yeah.
So he's getting rid of those guys in particular, according to
what
I read.
Well, he's just your classic paranoid from the way he acts the way he kills everyone that.
And he's put on like 30 pounds and he cut his hair like Rachel Maddow. He's so stupid looking right now. He looks like an angry dyke delivering your Chinese food. Stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
He is like, but I mean, he's one of the few people left on the planet that I think everyone universally hates. Everyone. Yeah. Like, I can't think of a fucking person that'll stand, even like his own people. Obviously, he starves them to death. If you've never
Chinese had a tongue, tone it down.
Listen, if you guys have some spare time, you want to see how miserable North Korea is. Any of you out there that still have the illusion that communism is a viable economic system or a viable like societal method of equitable distribution of wealth and all that horseshit, go to Google Earth, and look up North Korea at night.
Yeah.
Okay. You will see what appears to be a chunk of the earth missing. Right? Yeah. Just darkness.
Pitch black.
You'll see South Korea full of lights.
Right? Yeah.
China, Japan. Then when you get to North Korea, it is literally like someone pulled the plug on the whole fucking country.
It's just this black.
Yeah. Light. With maybe only where the palace is, there being lights.
It's
okay?
Like Whoopi Goldberg's asshole.
But not as smelly.
No, it's pretty bad.
But what I'm trying to get at is it's so poor there.
It's so terrible.
It's poverty. But for all you fucking liberal communist assholes, at least everybody's equally poor in that country.
It's just
you
terrible.
Fucking cocksucker. Anybody
except
who,
him,
yeah,
and the other who are living like high on the hog, eating the best food,
having
like,
it flown
they, in. Yeah, they said he watches porn all the time.
Dennis, oh, so do I.
So do I.
With
Dennis Rodman, right?
No.
Yeah, that's how you know. That's why whenever someone talks about communism Dennis or something Rodman. Like that, that's why. It's hilarious to me. It's like they ignore every example of communism.
I mean, even if it's not textbook Marxism, okay, because I actually had to study all that shit in college. I was a Soviet studies major when they were still around.
That's his
but,
problem.
You know, but even if they're not absolutely, it's close.
And it's under the name of Marxism.
And the idea that it's, that it's just such a horrible police state. And like, if you try to get out of the country, they kill you or they kill your family. And they have all kinds of prison camps. Like, it's Kim Jong-un.
Take that, motherfucker.
Fuck you.
There you go. All right. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Hopefully we've had some laughs. If not, thank you for putting up with us. Until next week, when I might decide to tickle his asshole with a feather. This has been Big Fat John.
And Judah Larium.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.